And welcome to the 12th episode of Rebel Force Alliance, a podcast about Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes mobile game. I am your host, as always, Adenar, and I'm joined by my one wonderful co-host, Dave. How are you doing today, Dave?
Pretty good. Yeah, pretty good. It's been an interesting week. Some good stuff to go through today, but yeah, had a good week in the game, so I'm doing all right.
Oh, fun. And then we also have my other not wonderful co-host. He's kind of an a-hole. Coleman.
Hey, what's up? How's it going this week?
It was going okay. It was going okay. How's your week going?
Oh, man. It's going wonderful. I know Dave's not too happy with me, probably still. But, yeah, no, pretty good. My Empire's all Gear 12 now, and one Zeta away from being complete.
Yeah, you sent me that screenshot. So your every Empire character is Gear 12.
Yep.
And you have one more Zeta to have every Empire Zeta.
Yep, and I'll get that in 2 weeks.
And what just happened there? I just said something right. It's what being
you
learned.
You said Zeta.
It's being yep. learned.
You said Zeta, and Coleman, I am not upset with you.
Okay, thank you.
Just for the record, it was actually a relief. So
I'm actually mad at him. I'm always mad at him. No. So it's been it's been like 13 days, 12 days since our last one.
It's been way too long.
Since we were supposed
to... Well, we did it on a Sunday, I think.
Yes, because right? I'm going to use air quotes when Mick Mole was supposed to be on.
The spirit of Mick Mole.
Yes, the spirit of Mick Mole.
Not Mick Mole.
So, I don't know. We might have to get somebody else to do whatever he was supposed to do now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we could.
Yeah, we'll still get Mick Mole.
We'll still get him.
But, do we really want him?
But now we need to have somebody scheduled to come on and be like, can't make it.
We can just throw out any names we want now because they're not going to expect the person to actually show up anyway. So.
Okay.
No, never.
All right. So, Mick Mole bashing aside, Dave, how's your week been in game? Got anything fun, anything crazy, awesome happen, any new characters?
I wish. No, I'm in somewhat of a Zeta paralysis. I have two saved up. I'm not quite sure which way to go on them. I've been like slowly gearing up some Rogue One. So I took finally, like, I feel like I'm the last person to start gearing, Chirrut. So I geared up, Chirrut to gear 11. I was working on, saving up stuff to finish out Jin and Cassian, because that's the last kind of team I need to work on for light side territory battles. And then I'm just kind of sitting on Zetas, so I might give one to Jin. I might go Ewoks. I might sit and wait and just kind of see who's best for the, you know, dark side territory battles is coming in the, you know, next month or two. Just kind of hold on to Zetas, knowing that I'll probably have to hand over a couple to teams to make those viable. So, kind of in a little bit of a holding pattern right now as we kind of wait for, I was going to go all in on Night Sisters, but as we'll talk in a little bit, the release cadence for those characters has kind of put the pause on that. So, kind of just in a holding pattern, waiting for the next big thing.
Yeah, I will say, if you're looking for a little advice, I would Zeta Jin. It really does help to get that 6 of 6 in that Rogue One mission.
Yeah, and I think that's probably where I'll end up going, at least with one of them, and then I'll save the other one for Dark Side and just see who makes the most sense. I mean, I'm sure, you know, Night Sisters would be great, but the problem is just the availability, ultimately, of Talzin, which we'll talk about. So, anyway.
Yeah, I had 40 Zetas, and I Zeta Jin and then Gar, and I don't regret either one.
Yeah.
Yeah, we already know how Coleman's doing all Empire all the time. So we'll skip him.
I even joined the Empire Discord server, so let's go.
You already told me that they're not happy with you because your Empire team is running General Kenobi.
Yeah, I know.
So you're not true Empire, you're Empire Light.
For a little bit anyway. We'll see how this goes.
So I've actually kind of given up on the light side. I've got enough teams right now that I can do well enough where my guild's at to get... I can 6-6 every fight up until phase 6. And our guild is not at the point where me going 5-6 instead of 6-6 is going to get us an extra star. So I've started going all in on dark side. That's all my farming is going to dark side. All my gearing is going to dark side. So right now I'm doing Shore Trooper and Death Trooper.
Hey, you can't go wrong with Death Trooper.
Yeah, both of those will probably be huge when dark side territory battles come out. So and just like you, Dave, I'm sitting on Zetas now. I'm just waiting to see what comes next and what dark side characters I'll have to dump it on, whether I have to dump it on Kylo, Boba, you know, Thrawn, Tarkin, any one of those.
I mean, obviously, if you look at, like, what's likely to be valuable, I think teams that are highly sustainable are always very good, which obviously you look at the new light side. Empire has different leads that offer sustainability, and then Sith obviously offer some sustainability with a Nihilist lead. So there's, you know, I think there's a couple teams that people could slowly start to work towards. I think in my mind, you know, Empire, Sith, and Night Sisters are going to be quite good. And then you can go and you can look at things like First Order and stuff, which I'm sure will get a buff with new characters. So there's a variety of ways that you can go if you work on those. Maybe hold on your Tuskens for right now and Bounty Hunters. But other than that, there's a lot of really good dark side characters that I want to just start gearing to gear 11, but I'm just hesitant until I have a better understanding of, like, which is the right way to go, because the last thing I want to do is take some of these guys I still have, like, trailing behind in, like, gear 8 and gear 9 up to gear 11, then have them not be valuable over somebody else, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably look at First Order, because you know we're about to get probably a few more.
Well, I mean, I can imagine Hux is going to come in and have a baller leadership ability.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, and my First Order is all gear 11 except for First Order Stormtrooper. I have them all gear 11, so I'm sitting all right with them. And, you know, we'll see.
I have them all sitting at gear 7, 4 stars.
Resistance runner.
Yep.
I still haven't Zeta'd Finn.
Why have you not Zeta'd Finn? That's like the number one light side territory battle team to have is Resistance.
Because I don't need them.
Well, maybe your life would be easier if you did.
No, it'd just be less fun. I feel like that'd be too boring.
Oh no, I wouldn't call Resistance boring.
We'll see. Yeah, I think they're fun. They're definitely fun with BB-8.
In the raid.
They're a ton of fun in the raid. Yeah, I mean, you can just do create even with even if they're like shoddily modded and you're not like great with overall like just the move cadence, or you get bad RNG, you're still going to do like 10 million. Yeah. It's that easy.
I just remembered, Ednar, you'll be very proud. Okay. I have a gear 12 Poe.
There you go. I don't even have a gear 12 Poe.
Just because I use midships.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I don't even have him at gear 12. I kind of gave up on my, like, getting my resistance to gear 12 when I went to the CLS arena team. But we'll move on, because we missed a lot while we were gone for those however many days. And we touched on this briefly in the last episode we had about there being new Night Sisters introduced, and we did get two of them. And they also introduced a bunch of new events. So the two new ones are going to be the Night Sister Spirit and the Night Sister Zombie. Next to come is Night Sister Werewolf and the Night Sister Vampires.
Yeah.
And then
maybe.
I don't know enough about the Night Sisters to know whether or not these are two characters that people even could have expected. They feel almost like made up, but maybe, I don't know.
It's one of those things that's when you have a Star Wars game and they're like, we're bringing you this brand new character. It's a zombie.
I feel like this is kind of like a Sam Wetzel situation. Like, oh, we want more bounty hunters. Here's your brand new, everyone's favorite bounty hunter, Sam.
Yeah. So, but, I mean, I don't really have a problem with it. It's just fun to joke about it because it's just weird to have a zombie in Star Wars.
A zombie and a ghost. Aside from maybe like a Force ghost, then I might be able to take a Force ghost a little better.
Night Sister Spirit does open the realm of you can have Ghost Yoda, Ghost Anakin.
Ghost Old Ben.
Ghost Old Ben.
Obi-Wan.
You know, you could...
Yeah.
Hole
in the middle. Yeah, hole in the middle of him, Han Solo.
Yeah.
That works.
Yeah.
No, I was gonna say, you know, Han Solo maybe with like Kylo Ren's lightsaber sticking out of him the whole time. But
no, he wasn't a Jedi though. All the dead ones have been Jedis.
Mm-hmm.
Or all the ghosts have been Jedis. So you have to come up with another Jedi.
Jedi that dies.
So Luke.
I don't know.
Luke's gonna die. Luke's gonna die in one of these two movies.
I can only hope.
I can only hope, spoken like a true Empire fan.
Right?
I'm sure he will. It would make sense.
Yeah. So
when you run out of decent plot points, you may as well just start killing people off.
Well, you have to kill them sooner or later because he can't be Luke Skywalker forever.
Yes, he can.
No, he can't. They're gonna have more movies. They can't have him in.
Force Ghost, Luke Skywalker.
Oh. Yeah.
No.
There's always room for more.
Force Ghost Mace Windu. There you go.
Maybe. Oh man. Maybe. Let's get a Mace Windu first. Let's get him to not be terrible.
Alright.
Let's get Plo Koon not to be terrible.
Also a good thing.
Basically all Jedi. But, alright, so moving on from our rants about reworks is we have these two new characters and we have a whole bunch of events that you guys have probably already seen, so we won't get into them really until we get into the cadence a little. But the one event tied to these characters are the same event. I think that's called... Is that the Ghost of Dathomir? Yeah. The Ghosts of Dathomir special event. So they'll both be unlocked in the same event. And it's just like a marquee event. You know, you basically play with them to unlock them.
Yeah.
Just like you get any other... Just like you got Sith Assassin and Sith Trooper, all that fun stuff. So... we'll get into the kits for them a little bit, so let's start with the Night Sister Spirit, because this is the least interesting of the two we'll go with. The Night Sister Spirit, she's an attacker. Her basic Spectral Embrace deals physical damage to target enemy, inflicts speed down for 2 turns, remove 20% turn meter gain turn meter equal to the amount removed. I mean, it's a good basic. Remove turn meter, speed down, and gain turn meter off of a basic.
Yeah, no, it's a good basic, but how fast is she?
She's 152?
153.
Oh, 153.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, she can get fast.
She's super fast. Yeah. And it does speed down is still relevant. I mean, certainly helpful for there's a tremendous raid application for this team with like a Ventress lead and stuff like that. If people are still looking for characters for the raid, I mean, no one really needs raid characters anymore, but I know it's still something. It's an interesting move. I like the whole like removing gain turn meter thing. I think that's not enough characters have that. certain characters like Jin and stuff have it, which is nice. But so it's good to work that in. I think it's a new mechanic, not a new mechanic, but a mechanic that they haven't really used a ton. So that's good.
Yeah, and it hits. I mean, it doesn't hit weak, but it doesn't hit good. It does about 6,000 damage. So not crazy powerful, but not bad.
No, that's a good piece.
Yeah, that's right in there.
Yeah.
So she only has one special, and that is Possess. It's deal physical damage to target enemy, dispel all buffs on them, and then inflict stun for one turn. This one to me was actually very, very underwhelming.
I mean, dispel, I guess a dispel's good. I mean, they already have one with the group one with
Paris or Asajj.
With Asajj, but it's still valuable to have another one. I think the stun is, this gives them, you know, just even more controllability when you think about Asajj's stun on her basic, and then Daka has obviously stun on her basic, double stun potentially, so this is just another opportunity to stun the character. So it's, you know, neither one of these turns is like groundbreaking, and neither one of these moves is groundbreaking. It's just, you know, they're just good, a good special and a good basic that, you know, I think what's good is the unique.
Yeah, unique. One thing I will say about her special is the animation is awesome. It looks like Casper. Yeah. Like, if you remember the movie Casper the Friendly Ghost, like, possess the body and then pop up from underneath the floor.
Oh, God.
Yeah, CG's really done a, like, their art team has done, like, a really good job, I think, recently in new characters that have come out of, like, really upping their animation game. Because if you remember, like, in the beginning of the game, like, when it first came out, like, a lot of the animations were just recycled between the characters. Like, a lot of the Jedi use the same basic strike moves and the same special strike moves. And
You can still see a little semblance of that, but, you know, once they get the rework, you'll see it change up. Yeah.
But, like, you know, Mother Talzin has, like, a lot of really cool animations, and Spirit's animations are both pretty cool, so they've really done a good job. Like, Thrawn's got, like, my favorite animation in the game when he does Fracture. So, like, they've done a really good job on, like, recent characters as far as just, like, you know, upping their game as from an animation standpoint, which has been nice.
Yeah, speaking of that, I think my favorite's also Thrawn, but it's his basic where he pulls out his blaster and puts it away.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, Thrawn's got good animations, but that's just, they've done that with every recent character, so.
Ewoks, even. Ewoks got some good ones.
They redid, you know, Ewoks are just the cream of the crop when it comes to almost everything, so that's understandable.
Right. Okay, so you mentioned her unique, malevolent spirit. This is what really makes her powerful. So Night Sister Spirit gains foresight for one turn at the start of each encounter. At the end of her turn, Night Sister Spirit gains foresight for one turn. When Night Sister Spirit has foresight, she has 100% offense, and her attacks ignore armor. So, basically, she'll have foresight up basically every turn.
Yeah.
If she's not hit. That's the one thing that could do it. Like, an AoE team against Night Sister Spirit can ruin her day.
Yeah, there's ways to get around foresight. I mean, we've been doing that often recently, whether it was with Jedi or R2 or GK, but the 100% offense when she has foresight could be pretty crazy. Like, that means she's going to do, you know, basically double damage on all her moves when she has foresight. That's really strong.
Yeah, I mean, it is really strong. It's just, like, we all know, it's fighting Jedi. It's easy to get rid of foresight.
It is, yeah. So that's the thing. You have to, like, you know, hope she can get a move off before somebody AoEs or attacks her. But, you know, it goes well with when we get to Zombie with that taunt. So it's, you know, there's something here, yeah. And it's not overpowered, right? So that's nice. Like, there's a way around it. I don't think any of these characters are overpowered, but you know, there's way around it. It's just that it's a strong unique.
Yeah. And with her speed, if you speed her up enough, getting that foresight so much, if you have Talzin's unique, you know, it'll help spread out that plague that much more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think Talzin will have trouble spreading plague from everything I've seen. I think that's going to be a non-issue.
No, likely not.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And Spirit's a pretty beefy attacker, too. I mean, 24k health, 28, almost 29k protection, 10% health steal. You know,
I mean, it's not bad.
No, 69% base pot, 69% base potency. That's the highest in the game.
Is it?
I mean, I hadn't looked at that yet, but I think that it might be. I'm looking it up right now.
Dooku's 85. Night Sister Spirit is 69.
Yeah,
she's the third highest.
Duke Qui-Gon, yeah. So, yeah, that's still ridiculous. I mean, 69% at base is, you basically don't have to touch it. So you can mod her for damage, which is all the better.
Yeah, and crazy. I mean, I don't really know how much armor penetration goes into it, because I don't get into that, but she's super high armor penetration as well.
Yeah, which that's kind of a new thing that's been coming out lately, is a lot of armor penetration characters.
Yeah.
Or at least moves.
Yeah.
It is part of why you see people like Luke and Han do so much damage, is because their armor penetration is very, very high. I mean, they do a ton of damage because of that statistic.
So you're saying Newt Gunray has a chance. He's third highest.
No. It's kind of. You talk about a character. Well, you know, we've opined on the Separatist rework, so at some point it's going to happen. But but no, she's a good, I think, all told, you know, I think Spirit's a good character. She synergizes well, which we'll talk about, but will we have her anytime soon? Maybe not.
Now, the one nice thing about it is there's no Zetas on her, any of her abilities. It's all Omegas.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I think we can all appreciate. Change of pace.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate it, even though I'm not going after really any of them that hard.
Yeah, I mean, through all this, and we'll get into it more, but I don't see her. I see her being left off.
Yeah.
Of the team?
Yeah. I see her getting left off of the, maybe not a raid team, but an arena team, yes. I see her not being part of it.
Do you think, though, I feel like you need her because of the damage. Like, they sisters do, are kind of struggle with damage if you don't have her. And I've seen people actually take out, on some of the videos the game changers have done, I've actually seen people take out Asajj.
Yeah. I mean, like, you have to have Alkalite now, right?
Because of the stealth.
Yeah.
The stealth.
Yeah. Like, the stealthing effect.
The stealth is great because it keeps her healthy and keeps her alive, we should probably go through Zombie and then
we'll go through Zombie.
Let's go ahead and get through Zombie.
So that was the Spirit. So the Zombie is the one that when I read it, I had to reread it like four times. So the Night Sister Zombie is a tank, Night Sister obviously, with the basic Blight Touch, just simple, deal physical damage to target enemy and inflict Tenacity down for 2 turns.
Okay.
Tenacity downs, good thing to have. On a basic, I'm okay with this. But it's real basic.
The Tenacity down is I guess, there for raids? I don't know. Probably. Right.
Something like
come
that.
Up, come up against a Rex team.
Yeah, that too.
So, But, I mean, we'll move to her other only special is deal physical damage. Oh, it's called Feed. Deal physical damage to target enemy. If Night Sister Zombie has full health, dispel all debuffs on her. Otherwise, this attack has 100% health steal. It's an interesting special. I don't think it's a game-changing special. Just because all it does is dispels her debuffs or gives her, you know, 100% health steal. So it's either a self-heal or self-dispel.
Basically, it's like, no matter what, you're going to get some, you know, positive effect from it, which is nice. Yeah.
Which is nice, but it's not a, oh my god, this is the greatest special.
No. Yeah. Her difference maker is just like Spirit, her unique.
Yeah. And this is something, her unique is something that completely voids why we didn't think the team would be viable in our last podcast. Her unique is Endless Horde. So at the end of her turn and the start of each encounter, Night Sister Zombie gains taunt for one turn. So she has taunt every turn, essentially. Whenever Night Sister Zombie is defeated, while any other Night Sister allies are active, she is revived with 100% health and 25% turn meter, which can't be prevented.
Yep.
That pretty much says it all.
Yep.
Can't get much more basic than that.
Yeah. Now, the thing with this is, it doesn't say it in the character strategy guide. Oh, yeah, no, it does. Sorry. Which can't be prevented. That's the... Yeah. So you can't Deathmark. You can't Annihilate. You can't... I can't remember what Boba's is.
Execute.
Can't do any of that to kill her and not bring her back. So she's always going to be there.
Yes.
No matter what you do with Taunt. So this is the first character I think they've introduced in the game where you don't want to kill it. You just want to manage it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you're probably going to, at some point, maybe kill her just because she's taunting, and maybe you don't have a dispel up or whatever, but this is why Acolyte becomes so important, because through stealth and Kate staying alive, if you watch a lot of the Game Changer videos, Acolyte always being alive meant Night Sister Zombie was always alive, so, because you basically have to leave her to last. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't do anything about it, but it's a great move. It immediately just screams of like, all right, well, fracture. And then, you know, take out the rest of the team and then kill her. I mean, it's easier said than done. I'm sure there's a lot of nuance to the Night Sisters now, and they really buffed them for sure, but it's cool. You know, my only thing when I first read it is it's just like when they always seem to just like the can't be prevented stuff is like their new way out of things they've created where they don't have another way around it. It's just like, oh, well, that can't be prevented or that can't be evaded or that can't, I guess in this instance, it does make sense because certain characters, and I think that's what they're trying to do is certain characters that are in the meta, like Nihilus, they almost become irrelevant against Night Sister Zombie, and you might need to worry about mixing in some other characters. So I see what they're trying to do, and they're certainly trying to make sure the Night Sisters are viable. But it's an interesting move. It's new for sure. That's for sure. Yeah. Different.
Yeah. And I think the way Conduit explained it on another podcast was pretty much think about it as the horde of Night Sister Zombies. You take down one more just replaces it. So that's where you kind of get that preventable revive. Preventable death, or whatever, however you want to word it.
Yeah.
So you take one down, another zombie takes its place. So that's kind of where you get that sense from. But now the good part is that effect does not transfer over to all the other Night Sisters.
Yeah.
So you can still death mark, you can still annihilate, execute whatever you want to choose to do to those other ones, so they won't pop back up once you use basic with when Talzin's leader.
Yes.
Yeah. No. It's. When I first read this, I was just like, "How do you get around it?"
Fracture.
Fracture, buff immunity.
Yeah, fracture. And the thing is like the normal meta team still handles this team fine in videos I've seen. Not that you can't win on, but like on offense, if you're on offense facing the Night Sisters, you'll still be fine. They're not overpowering.
As long as Acolyte's not there and gets stealth.
But even if Acolyte does get stealth, I mean, I think that there's still potentially ways around it. Yeah, certainly it makes it harder to get around it. But you know, either way, I don't think they're overpowered. I just think that they're very good now and certainly viable and well worth, if you're going to invest in characters, certainly well worth it because they look to be strong as a team now. They have some differentiation on the way that they work, which is cool. They're different than a lot of other teams. They really rely more on that survivability and just inability to kill them than mm-hmm. they do on like damaging themselves through you or just like debuffing you to craziness. I mean, they do debuff you like crazy, but it's more about the fact that you can't get rid of things and the fact that they keep coming back. Like, as strong as Plague is, the big thing about the Night Sisters is that they're really hard to just kill. More than just the, at least in my mind, the thing that's toughest about them and the most unique about them is that aspect, the unkillability, to create a word that didn't exist. But yeah, it's just, to your point earlier, Ednar, I just wish that these were two characters that just like felt more exciting than like Zombie and Spirit, you know, like be actual characters with these abilities.
Yeah, like, the thing for me is I'm a big fan of having the named characters be the stars of the show. And the Night Sisters, without these two, were a decent team, but they weren't going to do anything.
Mm-mm.
So the all-star of this team, really, when it boils down to, is Night Sister Zombie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have a no name, a red coat, essentially,
mm-hmm.
that is the all-star of your team. And to me, I don't like that. But
give a little love to the little guy, I guess. What were you going to say?
Well, no, I was just saying, like, all right, so Night Sister Zombie versus Commander Luke Skywalker. Night Sister Zombie is probably going to win if there's another Night Sister alive.
Mm-hmm. If that Acolyte's sitting stealth in the back.
Yeah, I'm like, Luke Skywalker is the most powerful being in the universe. He just lost a flipping zombie. Like, what's going on here? I mean, that's nitpicking, but I think it's more I'm just bitter about this team.
I think you just like Commander Luke too much. I think that's what it is.
I wouldn't go that far. I like Commander Luke. I don't like him that much.
That I don't know.
He did get me a lot of crystals.
Yeah, he got me zero crystals.
Good. You have too many.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what kind of team comp would you put together for Night Sisters? We'll start with you, Dave. What kind of team would you put together? Like, who would you put in? Who would you leave out?
You have to have Zombie. And then you have to have, I think, Acolyte. Because of the stealth, I think, super important. You can leave Initiate out easily enough, which I think actually ends up being great for a lot of reasons. The biggest is she's a Carbonti hog, so maybe you can avoid having to gear her. You probably, for Arena, you're going to go Talzin lead, which makes sense. And you're going to include Daka, because I think you need that revive ability. I think that really helps make them super, super powerful. Plus that stun, I think, from a controllability standpoint is super important. And then, you know, it comes down to whether or not you want damage from Asajj or damage from Spirit. I think it's kind of a toss-up. I've seen both teams so far in videos. They both seem to work really, really well. I think the group dispel is really nice from Asajj, but Spirit is so fast that she can get her dispel off pretty quickly too for any pre-taunts, or if you've got to deal with like a quick taunting GK or something like that. So really, you know, I think that's the team. You know, you certainly have to have Zombie, you have to have Talzin, you have to have, in my opinion, you have to have Acolyte, and then it's, you probably should have Daka, and then you can kind of toss up on who you want your attacker to be, whether it's Asajj or Spirit, and you can leave Initiate out.
Yeah, I think we can kind of, I mean, Coleman, you could probably agree with this, the top four of Alkalite, Talzin, Zombie, and Daka, right? Mm-hmm. Or do you think it's something else?
Well, you said Talzin, Zombie, Acolyte, Daka, and then I'd probably throw Asajj in there for that mass dispelling and healing.
Yeah, I think you can go Spirit or you can go Asajj. I think both would work just fine. So there's no wrong. I don't think there's any wrong answer there, but I really do think you need Daka.
Yeah, because, I mean, part of it is I would keep Talzin for leader in Arena, because once, say, Asajj goes down and she's not, like, permanently dead, she can come back and her basic could cause a stun, along with Daka's too.
They're much more, that's a great point. They're much more annoying coming back from the dead and using their basic than, say, Spirit would be.
Yo, oh yeah. Spirit's just like, okay, cool. Bye.
Yeah.
Now, I agree with you on the top four. I don't agree with either of you on the fifth. I don't think it will be Asajj or Spirit.
Talia?
No, I don't think it will be a Night Sister.
Oh. Well, but aren't we just talking Night Sister teams, you cheater?
All right,
if you have to pick only Night Sisters, I'd take Asajj.
If I have to pick a Night Sisters team, I'm using no Night Sisters and my current Arena team. How about that?
I hate you. Yeah. You're starting to get on Coleman's level with me. I don't know if this is good.
No, I don't. Hey, that's not fair. Don't say that.
All right. That was mean of me. I take it back.
Yeah, thank you.
But I think those top four are going to be a real good Arena team, and I think there's going to be a fifth that comes out that fits in better than Asajj or Spirit. You know, you could take Sith Assassin, you could take Savage Opress. I mean, you could really plug and play. I mean, Coleman, you said you saw R2.
Yeah, it didn't work very well, though.
Oh, it didn't. Just because it guarantees stealth. I mean...
Yeah.
You could...
I mean, he
Maul didn't have... would it be bad?
He didn't have Zombie, so I'm like, okay, I can't say anything yet. Nothing... So basically, in my Arena, people are already starting to run their Gear 12 7-star Talzins and their Gear 12 7-star Night Sisters already in Arena. It's doing them pretty good, but it's missing Zombie.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see once, because now, do you guys think they're required to be 7 stars to be Arena viable?
No.
Well, I mean, like, old Daka and Alkalite will be easy to get to 7 stars.
Oh, well, everyone besides for, like, Talzin and Zombie are going to be Gear 12, 7-star pretty easily. Yeah.
So, but Talzin and Zombie, do you think those can be 4 or 5 stars? Kind of like Annihilus or Thrawn even. And, I mean, even for a while, Baze was totally viable at 4 stars.
As long as they're Gear 11, I would say yes. Because Zombie, it doesn't really matter what level it, or what star level it is, as long as you get that ability that keeps it coming back to life over and over again.
Yeah, and then Talzin, I mean, you're not relying on her damage. You're relying on her plague.
Yeah, which if you can get her off once to use that AoE, it's going to spread.
Yeah, I think they're viable. I agree. At gear 11.
Yeah.
Lower star level. At gear 11, lower star level. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they can be any lower than gear 11 to be viable, but.
Nah, I don't think anybody is at this point. I mean, Yeah, you can maybe get away with like a. I mean, I guess you could get away with somebody like a zombie if they still were beefy enough, because they're still just going to come back to life.
Yeah.
I do bet that people that are going to have gear 10 zombies in arena while they're gearing zombie, if they don't like immediately have the gear to take her right to 11 or 12, like they'll throw her in, I bet, at gear, maybe even gear 9, just to like get the team in. Like, I know I put Kenobi in at gear 9 back when that was still okay.
Yeah.
Because I needed to gear him, and I was like, I just got to use this guy. But so I could see that happening. But
no.
But I mean, honestly, any of the people that are going to be putting these characters quickly into arena are going to have them at gear 11 or 12, right? Because they're probably decent spenders. So
I have a thought. If you get Zombie to level 85, and let's say you get her to gear 6.
Yeah.
And so she's 85, gear 6. You can grab her
away
that keeps her from revive.
I know where you're going with this.
Just throw her in there. So Thrawn, if he uses Fracture, she just dies and comes back without Fracture. If you try to debuff buff immunity on her, well, it's just too strong a hit, and she's just going to die and come back without any debuffs.
You're talking about the old Ben strategy.
Pretty much, the sacrificial Ben.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing is when she taunts, what's nice is that she has the permataunt, but when she revives and comes back, she doesn't have necessarily full turn meter, so it's not her turn or the start of an encounter, so she doesn't auto taunt when she's when she revives, so she wouldn't have a ton of health, so like you could just one shot her constantly when she has a taunt, so they're basically, you don't need to worry about a dispel. So I do think you have to at least have her beefy enough that like the taunt requires you to like have to smack zombie around a little bit to be able to get through it if you don't have a dispel, because that slows your team down and the ability to attack the other characters, which you ultimately have to do to beat the team. Mm-hmm. That's just, yeah. But I know where you're going with it, and I think it could be fun to mess around with it, at least while you still have her at lower levels.
Just to kind of troll around a little bit.
Yeah. But she doesn't have like that, like, she doesn't have quite the same thing like old Ben, where suddenly it makes all the other characters very, very good. But she's, yeah. So I don't know if it would work exactly the way that you want it to, but you can try it. Yeah.
I gotta gear up some Night Sisters and to try it.
Crap. Yeah. Well, in your alt. Didn't you say your alt was ready with all the Night Sisters?
It's level 69.
I will say this, as looking at her gear, the one nice thing about Zombie that is good, 2 Carbontes. Total.
That's all we can ask for.
Yeah. I didn't even look at her gear. Yeah, it's really not bad.
Yeah, one's in like the most cruel piece of gear of all time, the new stun guns.
Oh, God. I've got to say, the most agonizing piece for me is the new data pad.
I don't know, man.
God.
A regular stun gun plus 3 more pieces?
You'd be surprised what this data pad takes.
But yeah, no, I mean, I don't think, we're not going to see him. Outside of shards like yours, Coleman. Like, I'm in, like, a normal year and a half shard. Not one person in the top 50 is running it. And I won't see it for a while.
I mean, yeah. I give him my props. Most of my shard chat is going to have a 7-star Talzin by probably end of Like, there's probably one or two of us that don't have it already. And even then, what the other guy's going to have it in, like, maybe a week, week and a half.
Now, what do you guys... Now, reversely of this, what teams are going to be good against them? If they do become, like, the new thing in Arena, what teams can take them down?
Did you see the Veers video?
Yes.
I did.
With troopers, because they get stacking offense, right, when the units
offense
defeated.
And turn meter.
Yep. Yeah,
lot of turn meter.
Yeah, so every time a character was revived and then defeated immediately after the revive through the unique, Talzin's leadership or whatever. Yeah. So the full team would go. It was really crazy to see. Like they made it through the battle. They had full protection. So mm-hmm. so that was fun to see. I think Mobile Gamer did that video.
I know it was Arnold.
Oh, Arnold. Yeah. So that was really fun to watch. I think, you know, listen, the normal meta team in videos I saw, your standard, like, CLS, Thrawn, Han, Smorgasbord with, you know, R2 and GK, like, that will work because of how good Thrawn is, and the Fracture kind of shuts down Zombie and allows you to work on other characters. So there's that. There's ways around it. I think Empire will probably do a decent job just because you can use Thrawn and that's good. Hybrid teams.
Thrawn and Shore Trooper.
Yeah, but that Veers thing was cool because it was it's exciting to see those different teams kind of do really, really well against like what was considered the new meta, and then you see this team like Veers come in, and not only did it beat it on offense, but it beat it on defense, which was impressive.
I haven't seen it on defense. You're gonna have to send me that video.
Yeah.
But yeah, I told my shard chat we're all trying to experiment and come up with ideas for their Night Sister teams. I told them, like, look, if y'all start running Night Sisters, I'm just gonna pull out my troopers on you.
Yeah, right. And you have them all, so that's a feather in the cap for anybody that went all in on troopers. With Veers, maybe there's some viability there if the Talzin meta ever takes off with full Night Sisters, but I do think your rebels are still going to be okay, and they're not going to be CLS isn't going anywhere. Don't worry, he's still the best character in the game. If you were worried, not that anybody was, and I think there was one other team that I think handled it pretty well. Like, I think you can probably use their old Rexes, but there's so much of the Rebel meta right now that it's, I think those teams are still going to be completely, you know, pretty much completely viable against the squad.
I was asking Coleman before the show about the possibility of Resistance. The only reason I say that is because they're a very good team at controlling turn meter. And they can start off with the AoE exposed buff immunity and a dispel before anyone gets to go. And then they have two stuns as well. So you go ahead, you stun Alkalite, and then you stun Talzin. And you just go from there. And then you just constantly are getting turn meter. They're not going. Like, that's how Resistance wins, is they just don't let the other team go. It's probably not ideal, but it's a team that could do well against them.
Yeah. No, I mean, it could, I mean, Resistance on offense, right, beats everything still.
Yep.
I don't think this will be any different. It'll just be whether or not, you know, that team can, well, we know it can't hold up on defense, but certainly they could work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could easily break through just about anything with Resistance, but the fall of the overnight is just brutal.
Mm-hmm. Preaching to the choir here. Hey, you just lost 50 arena spots overnight. Awesome.
It's like, but Resistance. It was Resistance. What happened?
They didn't have Jedi Rey.
That's my big question is if Jedi in training Rey is going to be resistance or not. Not that we're saying we know for a fact that she's going to be that or whatever or not. We have no idea. We have a good idea she's coming, but...
Yeah, all right. I want to go over one thing before we talk about the Rey thing, and that's the elephant in the room.
Mm.
And that is the cadence.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
I have choice words for this.
So, I actually... So, I'll go over what they released on the cadence for Wicket and Mother Talzin. Essentially, since these are both marquee events, you're looking at it coming back at least once per month until otherwise announced. So these events will be coming back once a month. You can do it once, and then you can refresh it once. And that's the only way to get their shards. Now, breaking down the math on this. If you're a completely free-to-play player and you don't use crystals to refresh, you will not get Wicket or Mother Talzin to 7 stars for over 2 years. If you refresh, and if you only refresh, it will take you just over a year, or right at a year, or somewhere around there, to get them to 7 stars. Now, Zombie and Spirit are going to follow the same normal character release cadence, which is up in the air what an actual normal character release cadence is, because we haven't truly had one yet.
It's whatever CG says it is on that particular day.
Yes, because the last time it was a normal release cadence was Ewoks, and it went much longer than it should have if it was following previous ones. So,
I'm still not convinced that low grade's even available, because I've seen him one time in a week and a half.
I've gotten really, like, I've gotten 15 shards.
How? I literally, he will not go away for me. I refresh because I'm farming vets, the veteran smugglers right now. And I'm just like, hi low gray, why are you not going away, low gray?
Oh, but like, you're talking about normal shipments though for crystals.
Same with guild too though, and like.
Oh, okay.
I've
seen him one time, so I'm not even convinced that he even released him for me, at least. But they apparently don't want me to have the characters I want, which I'll get to in a second.
Which I'm not going to farm Ewoks to begin with, so I'm like, of course they would just pop up everywhere for me.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's how this game works.
So, all right, Dave, I'm going to let you go and speak your mind about this, because I know you have some very choice words for this, and I know you want to get it off your chest.
Yes, I do. So I think the big thing is I just don't understand the why this is necessary. And listen, I'll say that there's a strong bias here in that since I started playing this game, I wanted two characters. I wanted Wicket and I wanted Scout Trooper. I really don't ever think I'm getting Scout Trooper, but we got Wicket finally after playing the game for a year and a half. I was super excited about it. I knew they had already changed the release cadence at that point to this new model, so I knew that I wasn't going to be able to get him for a while. But then when they came out that his shards were only going to be available through the event, I'm like, all right, that's fine. But the event will probably come back pretty frequently. Maybe it'll be every week. You'll just farm them slowly, and it'll take like a couple months. But this is ludicrous if it's actually how it's going to be. And like, I have to think that this is just like they just did this to get it out the door, and like they're going to tweak exactly what the cadence is. But to your point, if this literally means that you're not going to have this character for 2 years, I can't see why that's the point. Like, it's not going to get people to buy Chrome. Anybody that was going to buy Wicket already bought him. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, let's be real, right? If you're a whale or even a pretty moderate spender who will pick and choose their characters, if Wicket was the guy you wanted, you already got him at this point. So I can't see this being something that's going to quote-unquote, like, increased spending around him, because if you wanted him, you have him already. He's been out for a while. People probably just went out and bought the packs, and that's fine. Like, so it can't be about that, and it can't just be about slowing down character farms. Like, I know that people have built their collections maybe faster than CG ever thought. Even people that didn't spend a lot of money have almost every character in the game at 7 stars if you started when the game launched. And I understand that they probably want to elongate some of the farms so that people still feel like there's some sense of accomplishment. At least this is how I'm trying to reconcile this in my mind, because it still makes no sense to have a farm be that long. It's literally becoming the 2 longest farms in the game if you're trying to do it from a free-to-play standpoint for Talzin and Wicket. And they're 2 really fun, good characters that people should be able to get before 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that makes no sense to me. And I just keep – I'm actually being reserved right now in how angry it made me. And again, a lot of it has to do with the fact that I really wanted Wicket, and it's a character that I really was looking forward to having, looking forward to using, looking forward to gearing, because now you can't take him to gear 12. You don't have him 7 stars, so you're just relegated to having the character at not its max gear level until 2 years, which by that point, who the hell knows what gear level we would be at if this game is even still around in 2 years, because that's a long shelf life for any game to be on the market. 4 years, it might make it that long, who knows, but still, there's nothing about this that I like, and I have to think that they just quickly got it out there and said, right now it's only going to be every month, and maybe it'll come back like every other week or something, they'll speed it up a little bit, but even if it came back every other week, you're still talking about a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that can't be... That's hard modes are faster than that. People farmed Hoth Rebel Soldier faster than that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you can't. This can't be what it ends up being, because if it is, and it realistically is going to be that long for these characters to be available, that's a huge fail on CG's part, because it's not. I can't see how it's going to increase spending. And maybe when it doesn't increase spending, they'll throw them back out into the regular population in other ways. But it was really aggravating to see it. I hope it changes, and I certainly hope that this isn't the sign of something new, that this is something they're going to start doing with a lot of characters. Because screw that. Like, that's just. I don't think that's going to float for anybody, because I haven't talked to one person who thought that this was a good idea. Like, there's nobody excited about this. So why do it? Everyone came to terms with the cadence that they came out with. We understood what it meant. All right, you pay money, you get characters quicker. But in this instance, it's like, all right, screw you, free to play. You'll have this character in 2 years, and I'm not free to pay. So like, I'll pay for a character, but this is crazy. So. Anyway, I hope that this isn't actually what it ends up being, because it's really aggravating. I hope it's not a trend for the future, and I feel better now.
Okay, then. No, I mean, you resonate the same kind of sentiment that a lot of people feel about this. And I think, I mean, Coleman, I don't know where you stand, but I'm pretty sure you agree that it's too long for one character.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily feel the same way Dave does, and I think it hasn't hit me as hard, because Talzin and Wicket I despise. Talzin, I'm like, I don't much care about. So I'm like, okay, I can wait.
Yeah, but 2 years? Like, that's crazy.
I never, like, planned on farming Ewoks in the first place, so it's just like,
no, okay, but I mean, like, even from just a completionist standpoint, right, at some point, like, even if you're never going to use the characters, like, there's characters I'm never going to use that I'm still farming, so like you and who knows, maybe an event comes up that you need one of them for and you can't possibly have them because it takes 2 years.
I mean, you know you're gonna need them phase 7 of the Darkside Territory battle in platoons. Like, it's guaranteed. Like, Zombie and Spirit will be required in phase 6.
But they'll be normal the normal release cadence, or the old one, the new old one, the old new one, whatever it is. But it's a maybe. Like Talzin you can't get.
Yeah.
You get 10 shards a month for Talzin. So we'll all get 10 shards for Wicket and 10 shards for Talzin every month.
Yep, basically. It is brutal. And I know they said they wanted it to be like a hard node grind. It's 2 to 3 times longer than a hard node grind.
Like, well, I think what they're saying, though, is that from people saying, like, oh, we need to fast farm these Ewoks, or we need to fast farm these characters, they want people to slow down that farming so that way they don't have to, like, quick farm or just focus Ewoks.
But here's the thing is, the only reason we're doing speed farming is because of them.
Yeah.
Because they have kind of forced that on us. Is the whole, hey, you need these 5 characters, you have a week to do it. So it forces us to do speed farming. So it's become the norm now. And I think that's also part of the issue, because it used to not be like that.
No.
There used to be no speed farming.
Mm-mm.
'Cause there was no such thing.
I agree. The long farm was a rewarding, cool thing before, when you were still growing your roster in this game and you still had diversity and you were still trying to mess around with a variety of different characters over the first, say, year plus in this game. But at this point, everybody has everything. Like, no one cares about slow farms anymore, at least people that have been in the game and playing it for a long time. And that's realistically the people that are going to be the most frustrated with this, because they want to be able to use these new characters. And to say that, all right, well, we want it to be like a hard node farm, I can understand that. But, like, you've already introduced other hard node farms too. Like, how many characters do you want people to have to wait 12 months to get? Like, that just seems crazy to me. There's no rational reason for that, because no meta lasts that long anyway. So by the time some of these characters – like, think about it. Say you were somebody – look at Baze. Let's use Baze as an example, right? Nihilus is still in the meta. Baze is not really. So let's look at Baze as an example here, right? When he first came out, he was awesome. Everybody wanted him. Everybody put him in their arena team. Everybody had him and Chirrut. Chaze was born. People that didn't use it hated it. People that used it, it was like easy mode, and that was great. And then finally, Chaze hit the board, or Baze hit the board. He hit hard node only, and people that didn't have him started that grind, and they've been working at it, working at it, working at it, working at it. And you know what? Oh, man, we finally got there. Doesn't matter. He's not worthless, because he's still good, and he's still useful in territory battles, but he's not in arena anymore. So if you were working on him for arena, guess what? Doesn't matter. He's just another character thrown into your toolbox to use for other things that's not arena. So, like, now by the time – not that Wicket was even in arena anyway. Very few people use Ewoks. But, like, something like Talzin, like, by the time anyone has her, no one's going to use her.
Mm-hmm. It'll be something completely different.
Yeah, so it's like, I understand giving paying customers or people that are going to fork over hundreds of dollars for a character the ability to have that character first for a specific period of time. I don't disagree with that, because this game is free to play and that's the model. We're all comfortable with that. But there's no reason to have a farm be this long for interesting, fun characters that bring new dynamics to the game. There's no reason for that. It's stupid. It's whoever's making that decision, I want to punch them. It's so frustrating, because it's such poor game management for your community. Like, you're putting effort into these new characters and then telling people they can't have them for 2 years. That's stupid.
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to stick. I just don't see it sticking. I mean, I think they wanted to try it out and see how it goes. And there's been so much backlash, they can't keep it.
I hope not, too.
Well, think about the backlash they got from tournaments, too.
Yeah, that's what I was going to compare it to, is the whole tournament thing.
Yeah, and that when they had tournaments, you know, it was an interesting idea, but it just took too much effort and for too little reward. And with this, you know, they took tournaments out fairly quickly. You know, it was the whole Rogue One scene, and then I think maybe Vader's ship. I can't remember if there was anything else to go along with tournaments other than those guys.
It was just those. I think Jin might have been the last one.
I can't remember. It was so long ago. But they took those out fairly quickly, and I think you're going to kind of see the same thing happen with these events. I think you're going to see them come around again, but with, you know, Wicket showing up in shipments and possibly somewhere else, or just shipments. I don't know. I can't tell anything. But same with Mother Talisman, and she'll be in shipments probably when they throw these out. And if you have a 7-star, you can compete in these events once a month for Zetas and other sorts of rewards, which I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, I think I agree. I give it 1 month of this, and then there will be so much backlash that they change it.
Yeah. I mean, even if you... Like, here's the thing, right? And I think this is totally reasonable as a solution. I doubt they'd do it, but I think it would be... I think the community would be like, okay, you know what? I'll accept that. Do them as weekly events, because that still means it's like 6 months until somebody finishes these characters. Because it's only 10 shards a week. That's nothing. 10 shards a week is still a super slow farm. That's hard mode only. That's still slower than hard mode.
10 shards a week, that's a lucky hard farm week.
So that is like, but even now that you get the five shots at it, like, I was doing better than 10 shards a week without refreshes for Soldier, because I would get, you know, average about two, maybe 1.5 a day, you know, that's, or 2 a day. You're getting more than 10. So like that's still, if they want hard mode, that's hard mode. 10 a week. That still is over. If you don't have the character at all, that still takes you over 8 months to finish the character. And I think that's an acceptable period of time. If you really want it to be like a challenge in a slow farm, that's fine. And for people like myself, like, who's willing to spend a little bit, all right, maybe I do that. I supplement with a couple shipments of crystals. If they said there's a chance that like someone like Talzin and Wicket may eventually show up in shipments, like their counterparts are already there or will be there. And then I speed it up if I want, and that's totally fine. But like, you know, the current way it is, and I, again, we're belaboring it at this point, I get that. So hopefully it does change and we see, you know, we see them do something. I'd like it to go to every week. Maybe they'll slowly speed it up. Maybe it'll go to twice a month and then it'll go to every week or whatever. And we'll see, but
yeah,
it can't be this.
And if it is like what Dave just said, pretty much, I agree with completely. Even if it is a weekly event to get these characters, it's still, you don't have to focus just Ewoks just so you can make the weekly event. It's still, you can still normal farm or slow farm the Ewoks or Night Sisters, whichever one you need, and still enjoy farming other characters too.
Yeah.
If that's what they're truly looking for.
Events aren't that hard. Like, so you don't need to have these characters like crazy gear levels either. Like, the investment is, I mean, my Ewoks are pretty good, so I did it without any issue. But I think there's plenty of people that did those events with gear 8 characters. So you don't need to get too crazy with gear. So the investment's nothing, you know, outside of obtaining the shards, which aren't too bad for some of these characters now. It's just a matter of getting them to a decent gear level, and then you could, you know, get your shards every week while you gear them further if you want to use that faction. And if you don't want to, that's fine. You're just making, you know, you're just doing it from a completionist standpoint and getting your shards. So, you know, we'll see what they do. Hopefully they change it, because I'm not on board with the current state of it, for sure.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's on board.
Yeah. No, I have faith we'll change it or take it out pretty soon.
So, well, that's we wanted to talk about the cadence, and I mean, because all of us feel pretty strongly that it's just not good, at all.
And that's from a whole community standpoint too. Is that cadence is horrible? it leaves disgusting taste in your mouth. It's just like, bye.
Yeah. So, one last thing we want to talk about in tonight's episode is, in the content update, they made a change to a name. And that would be Ray. So they changed Ray's character name to Ray, and then in parentheses, Scavenger. Now this is everyone's taking as she's going to be coming out as, you know, a different Ray. Some think Jedi Ray, some are smart and realize that Ray can't be a Jedi. But, I mean, what do you guys...
she can't be a Jedi yet.
The Last Jedi, and I'm not... this is not even a spoiler, because it's in literally the three originals, last movie, already confirmed by the director. The Last Jedi is Luke. It's in the scroll of The Force Awakens, I think, that it says Luke, the Last Jedi.
Yeah, Rey won't be a Jedi in this movie, for sure.
No, so I don't think we're getting Jedi Rey. I think we're going to get some form of, like, Grey Rey, kind of like Fulcrum Ahsoka. Or, like you said, Jedi in training, but I think that's too technical.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But all signs point to us getting a new Rey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
And I don't think she's coming this year.
No, they said December.
No, they didn't say December.
No, they didn't, but they didn't say it directly. So there is, so here's the deal, I think, right? There's a post somewhere, I think on the forum, that does say that the first character from this movie will be released in December, and it will be like a variant of an existing character.
Yeah, Kylo.
So, right. No. It could be Kylo, but a lot of people are saying on, I think in a lot of guild chats, as well as people in the know, as well as like on Reddit, a lot of people are hypothesizing that it will be Rey, and it will be a legendary event to obtain her.
Well, now, you see, the reason I say it's Kylo, all right, so I have a couple theories about this. So in the content update, they do what's ahead, and they say an old foe reveals their true face. I personally think that's going to be Kylo without the mask.
Sure, and I can agree with that.
I don't think they're going to release Rey until a certain time after the movie, because whatever they tag her with will be a spoiler.
Yeah, but next month's also November, so.
Yeah, but the movie comes out in December, and I don't think they're going to release it in that month. I don't think they're going to release Rey as a new character from the game, because I think it could contain a spoiler. And I don't think they'll do that until a significant time.
The description?
Yeah. Like, let's say they name her Jedi Rey. Well, she's not a Jedi. Well, but I'm saying, like, let's say they do, or they could name her, you know, something else. You know what's going to happen to Rey in the movie then.
Well, what would you, so if they name her, like, Luke dies Rey?
Yeah. Oh, but, like, let's say she goes gray. Let's just say she does that. Then you know in the movie she becomes a gray Jedi. And then, like, the teaser at the end of the trailer is kind of meaningless.
Right, but I don't want a character that's gray Rey, because that rhymes. I don't want it.
But you don't have to have it like that, because, I mean... That doesn't have to be the actual name.
Just be like Lightsaber Rey.
Yeah, it could be something like boring. That.
And that wouldn't be a spoiler. And there is a chance they could release it like literally right after the movie, so that even if it was like a minor spoiler, most people are going to see that movie in the first week or two anyway that are like legit Star Wars fans. So
yeah, I think we'll see Rey,
Sith Lord Rey,
not.
Rey,
but not in the first like half of December. We'll see her closer to Christmas time.
Right, and that makes sense. But I'm sure you've seen it, Coleman, and people have posted it in your guild chat. We've had it posted in ours as far as the, like that little tidbit of, you know, Rey's coming in December and it's going to be a legendary event and it's going to require, you know, resistance plus the smugglers. So, which is, you know, listen, I don't want it to be true, but, you know, it sounds like a plausible scenario given what CG likes to do around creating a panic form. So, you know, having two characters like Smuggler Han and Smuggler Chewbacca who aren't available on the board, who would probably go on the board right around, you know, early December, suddenly be necessary for the next big overpowered character that you can only imagine a next iteration of Rey would be. Mm-hmm. Would make sense. It would be what they like to do, but it again, it's two characters that you're going to have the community freaking out about that they have to panic farm. But
which, I mean, you can kind of almost piece it together. The veteran smugglers came out of nowhere.
Yeah, totally.
We had no warning. We were just like, huh? There's veteran smugglers, but for what reason?
Yep. Yeah.
Normally there's a rhyme or a reason when they release characters. Not with those two. Those two kind of just, here's a marquee event, take them, where they're good for territory battles, have fun.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't seem to have a purpose in the game right now, and that would give them one.
No, and that seems like the biggest purpose is to get that new version of Rey. And it makes sense.
Yeah, no, and it makes sense, you know, from a canon standpoint and from characters you interacted with in the first movie, a longer journey. Like, if they keep with these, like, you know, having these very specific characters who mean something to the other character used to obtain them, I mean, it does make sense. I just hope that I don't love when they do the events where it requires very specific five characters. I obviously got lucky with Luke that I had those five, but like, I do prefer when it's maybe six or seven characters where at least you have some choice on who you have to go for. And just requiring a very specific five seems to be, especially when two of them are ones that were not available at all. Like, you know, again, we're hypothesizing here. This totally might not be what ends up happening, but if it is, you know, again, it would be very different than what happened with Luke, because Luke was a bunch of characters outside of R2 who you had to obtain that were in the game since the very beginning, and a lot of people had. So, or at
coincidentally, though, everyone needed Old Ben.
Right, but they could have had him. Like, I mean,
yeah, they very well could have, but no one had him. It was just like, oh, I forgot about this guy.
Yeah, people could have had him. I mean, I think a lot of people actually, I mean, at least a lot of people did on my shard, they had him because he was very popular lead on my shard for a long time. So
now, can I put one more hypothesis out there?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
The veteran smugglers, you know, they've kind of talked about introducing a villain's journey to go along with hero's journey.
Mm-hmm.
If they do Kylo Ren as a villain's journey, you could use veteran smuggler Han and veteran smuggler Chewbacca and recreate the final kind of Han Solo scene with Kylo Ren. So therefore you need veteran Han in order to go in there against Kylo Ren.
If they do a villain's journey and it's not Vader, I'm sorry, like, Kylo does not live up to Vader. He doesn't.
No.
And, I mean, it's...
Well, don't tell him that. You'll upset him.
I know.
Well, he's...
Look, I'm working on First Order now, so don't get my hopes up.
Like, I just... If they do a villain's journey, it has to be Vader.
I think it has to lead up to Vader Episode 3.
Yeah. Like, in between... Yeah. In between... Like... In between, right after when he gets sand thrown in his eyes, and Episode 3. The in-between.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, it could be anything. Because, like, if it is a legendary event, then you're going to have to use a dark side team to unlock them. If it's a hero's journey, then you have to use probably the Resistance team to unlock him.
Finn, BB-8, Veteran Smugglers, and Scavenger Ray, maybe?
Which a large majority of people would not get. Because, all right, if you think of it, not only are two of the characters not truly farmable right now,
mm-hmm.
a third one was very small farmable to people. And most of those people probably will not have the five First Order people up in time. I mean, because...
They are very hard farms.
They are very hard farms. There's still one that's hard node only. You only have the five options. At least with the CLS, like, you had one truly difficult farm, per se, and that was R2, but you had to have five Empire characters.
Mm-hmm.
So you had, what, 15, 16 to choose from? So you had a choice to get R2, whereas this, you have to farm these specific five characters to unlock BB-8 that are a hard farm, and then you have to farm, you know, Chewie and Han.
I think they're going to do it. Resistance to unlock, or not Resistance per se, but those guys to, in order to unlock Rey. I mean, think they're going to do it.
Yeah, I mean...
They released BB-8, which you need First Order. They released R2, which you need Empire. They release... I mean, that's about the only similar cadence to that, but it makes sense.
No, it does.
And you haven't seen BB-8 since.
The BB-8 event will come back right before it, and then they'll give you... Chewie and Han will hit the board somewhere where they're, like, just available enough that, like, you'll have... you'll be able to get them to, like, 5 stars, but in order to push yourself to 6 or 7, you're going to have to spend. And it's, like, it's exactly what CG wants to do for these things. They want to make people feel mm-hmm. like they have to buy a $50 pack to get the shards they need so that they can obtain...
An amazing Rey,
a character that everyone's going to want because
she'll be the new CLS.
Yeah, she'll make some team super viable, or she'll just, you know, like these great characters seem to do, just work as you hodgepodge them all together. So it makes too much sense with, like, the rumor makes too much sense because it's exactly what they've done recently.
Yeah. You know, so. The thing that makes the most sense is the BB-8 event. Rolling that out and then not seeing it. And just kind of knowing, like, what's around the corner.
I mean, you have to think that, I mean, thinking in my head, there's 6 characters then that you can use. Is it 6? No, it still is only 5. I was thinking just Finn, Finn, Poe, BB-8, and then the 2 veterans.
And Scavenger Ray, because remember, Farm Boy was required for CLS.
Yeah, if they want the current Ray to be usable in it, that might be the 6 there, maybe. But, like, or they just take Poe out, but and just have you use Ray.
Yeah, I can't really see Poe inside the mix of that.
But how can you, I mean, honestly, how can you have BB-8 and not Poe? BB-8 belongs to Poe.
No.
BB-8's around her more in the first movie. Poe's not really at all.
No.
Yeah, he's gone. So Rey doesn't even meet Poe, really. So. She meets him for, like, maybe 5 seconds, and then it's like, okay,
but
I'll do my thing.
Regardless of all this, we're probably all wrong.
Maybe this will be the first thing we're actually right about.
No. I was right about the Night Sister rework.
Oh yeah, I guess so.
Yeah,
every dumb dog finds a bone.
I mean, we did talk about basically every possible rework. I was just happened to be the one to mention Night Sisters.
Okay.
But didn't we also agree that one thing was about Phoenix though, and it wasn't?
No, the Rise from the Ashes, that was about Phoenix.
Yeah, it was about the Phoenix Zetas, and no one could have guessed the Chimera was coming.
Yeah. But it was the Phoenix Zetas and the Thrawn event.
Yep.
Coming back. So, yeah, we were right about that. for the most
part. Yeah, we were right about that. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we were right. So then, so then the Night Sister one, which one was that? What was that hint? I don't remember that one.
Oh, God, I can't remember either.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll get this one right, too. We'll see.
Yeah. I hope so, because I'm payout farming those vet smugglers and shipments, so.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll know in a couple days when we find out the login character.
No, because next month is November, not December.
Oh, but that'll give us a good hint on what's to come, though.
Yeah, if it's Kylo next month, I mean, that pretty much points to, hey, Rey's coming in December.
Yeah. So, we shall see, but I think that should do it for tonight's episode.
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
We got our main points across.
Yeah, we did. We got some complaining in, we got some random, some complaining, some theory crafting, some we're going to just throw this out there and hope we're right type of thing, which is generally what I do.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I guess that should do it for this episode. Thank you for joining us. As always, if you have any questions you would like us to answer, please email us at RebelForceAlliancePodcast@gmail.com or reach out to us on our Twitter page at RFA Podcast. As always, any iTunes reviews will be much appreciated. And until next time, since I did not mention it this time, I want Hondo.
Can I say one last thing then as a closing remark?
Yes.
Yeah. Say one thing so that we don't end on Hondo.
Uh-huh.
I want to give a big thank you to the Guild Dark Lords. I just joined maybe like a week ago, and they've made me feel so welcome there. It's a really good guild. I'm glad to be a part of it. So thank you guys.
Alrighty then, Dave. You want any final thoughts?
No, I'm good.
Okay. All right. Until next time, thank you all for joining us.